Thank you, Joe. I can keep my crown on. I don't know if I can keep my cowboy hat on. I chose this song, of course. It's a beautiful song, right? It's a tremendous message. Tim McGraw's father, Tug McGraw, is who the song is about. His father was a famous baseball player, pitched for the New York Mets, reliever, and died of cancer in his 40s. And so that this song is a tribute and to his father. But of course, Tim McGraw himself is a Christian. And a wonderful opportunity for the songwriters and for him to collaborate on a song that could hit the popular market and yet really speak a good word. Because, of course, life is short. And reflecting on how we live life and what our intentions are is a worthwhile endeavor. And his own dad actually had a lot of sorrow in his life in that Tim didn't know his dad. Tim's dad was an absentee dad. He got to know him later in his life as an adult. So there are a lot of regrets in Tug McGraw's life. So I think, again, the reflections in the song are particularly like noteworthy and sobering. How do you live, if you know your life is short? Well, you live more intentionally. You live more thoughtfully. He speaks about some things that are kind of bucket list things to make the song flow, skydiving and things that maybe you think, I always wanted to do this and I never did it, but those aren't the important things. The important things are loving more deeply, being the husband you should be, being the friend you should be, spending time with others. It's the things that are of true importance that, I think shine through so beautifully in a song like this, that often we're intending, people often intend to do something. You've got intentions, but, it's always put off. But when you get a cancer diagnosis, all of a sudden the time that you have to fulfill those intentions brings them right before you. Part of me feels a little sad to bring this up, but, a week ago today, Eddie Ballou Jr. woke up. He didn't know that evening into the next day he would die at 54 years old. These things sneak up on us. When you think about the brevity of life, the passage we're going to look at in a minute, Peter talks about, he says, the end is near. And then he gives instruction to the church. And I don't want to turn there yet, so don't open your Bibles yet. But the end is near, for any of us, like Eddie, his end was near. For most of us here, our end is nearer today than it was yesterday. And in fact, life is itself a pretty quick journey. Like, you ride through it faster than you can imagine. The older you get, the faster it seems to go. And so you begin to realize you can't endlessly put off your best intentions. You can't endlessly put off living the way you feel like you should live or you'd really want to live. Or in the case of Peter's instruction to us, how God is inviting us, instructing us, and calling us to live. None of us knows the length of our days. And even knowing them, a song like this should speak to us. Now, if you were the Apostle Peter, and you had planted a series of churches in Asia Minor, actually in Turkey, it was exciting for me that on Sunday, on Thursday, I was talking to a woman from Turkey, because we're studying Peter, and Peter's writing to the churches in that part of the world. If it was you, and you're wanting to instruct the church, and you're saying to the church, hey, church, the time is short. Let's say that God gave us unequivocally the knowledge that 6 months and the end is here. It's the day of judgment. God's going to bring all things into account. He's going to call all the world to account. This is the moment, 6 months from now. How would you instruct the church? You're now an elder. You're a leader in the church. How would you write to the church and say, this is how you should live? This is what it means for you folks as Christians. Live like you were dying. We got 6 months. What instruction would you give to the church? Now, I would like you actually just to take a moment individually. There's still a little space here. This is for your own little space on the bottom of the lyric sheet. If you have a pen with you, just think and actually just write down a couple things. What would you instruct? What would you tell the church to do? And then after we've done that, we'll take a look and we'll just briefly see what Peter instructed. And reflect on that. So just take a moment to think, what would you tell the church to do? You're St. Peter. They're going to build basilicas in your name all over the world, man. You're the guy. What do you tell these communities of faith? How are they to live, given that the end is near? Okay, I'm actually, you know, hopefully you felt free to do this. I'm not going to have you share with me. But let's see what Peter says, and then, but just that exercise itself, just for you to take a moment and look, and then you can see, well, oh, this is how Peter, what instruction Peter gave, and then consider your own instruction. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to turn our attention to verses 7 through 11. I'm going to pass over verses 1 through 6. There's good stuff there too, but I think it's in many ways more the same. Well, I'll read the whole thing. Let me read the whole thing. But I'm going to focus my attention on 4 through 7. Here's what Peter says. He says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They're surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." If you just stick with verses 7 through 11, it's, I think, kind of, in some ways, maybe a little surprising about Peter's thought. Peter says, the end of all things is near. We're almost to that day. What should you do? He says, first, you should pray. You should pray. I don't know if any of you wrote down pray on your list. Joe did. I got to put the hat back on then. Joe said, pray. And I think Peter instructs people to pray. Right? He starts by saying, he introduces the idea of prayer by saying, be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. Be alert and sober mind. You know, keep yourself in the right frame of mind. And the right frame of mind, if you think there's not a lot of time, is a mind that's set upon God. In fact, the story of Scripture from beginning to end would say that's always the first thing to have in mind. And when things become more focused, again, the Tim McGraw song says, when life becomes more focused, when you're living like you're dying, when you're living with an end line in view and you realize your time is short, the intention of your life is a more focused one. You're thinking, you're giving more thought to it. And Peter says, in that kind of a mindset, you should pray. You should draw near to God. You should be seeking God's will, because that's what life's all about. Like, if you think you're coming near the end and you want to get your life in step with, in sync with, in harmony with God, well, draw near to God. Pray. He said earlier, in the verses that I'm sort of jumping over because it's too complicated and would add too much to our discussion, he talks about living for the will of God. And when we pray, right, we're praying for God to be glorified, for his name to be honored, hallowed. Hallowed be your name. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, when you think about the end is near, that's what we're talking about. That moment is coming, and you're saying, yes, God, it's exactly what I want. I want to be exactly in step with that. I want to pray. It's interesting that whether the end is near, imminent, or whether the imminency is, you know, is unknown and long away, because here Peter in the first century thought, and all the apostles, Paul has the same feeling, they all had this great sense that the end was very near. And again, you could some would argue against the scriptures and say, see, these guys didn't know what they were talking about, because obviously 2,000 years later, the end was not near. But throughout scripture, we're always taught to live as though the end were near. Because in fact, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the end is near for all of us. It may not be the end of the world, but the end is near for all of us. How we live is going to be wrapped up in short order. We don't have forever. Again, when you think of intentions, your intention to do things, you don't have an unlimited amount of time. Jesus himself said to us, live readied lives. Live like someone who is ready for the return of the Lord. If it were tomorrow or tonight, you're ready because you've been living a life that's marked by a God-centeredness. You've been praying. You're clear-minded and you're self-controlled. You pray. So Peter's encouragement to pray, it marks you whether you've got cancer, so to speak, or not, right? Because you know that that is bringing the significance of life to bear into your life. When the songwriters wrote the song that Tim McGraw sang for us, right? He didn't sing that song, and the message of that song is not just to people who have cancer. Hey, if you get cancer, you better get going and do it right. No, the idea is, even if you don't have cancer, live right. Live thoughtful lives. Live well-intentioned lives. And then look at the second instruction Peter gives. The first thing he says is pray, and then the second thing he says, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love each other deeply. He makes it so simple, right? He gives instruction as though it's going to be something that is going to be like special or unexpected. The end is near. And then pray, love God, depend upon God, submit to God, yield to God, pray, and love each other deeply. Love your neighbor as yourself. He just reiterates the basic commands that Jesus gave us. He just live rightly. When the songwriters were writing the song, the things that Tim McGraw's father is saying, now he's paying attention to, those are the things he should have always been paying attention to. Should have always been the friend a friend would want to have. He should have always been the husband that a wife would like to have. He should have always been willing to give forgiveness, right? It's that call to live as though, even if it's not, because it's the right way to live. It's an intentional, focused life. And it's interesting, he says, and I think this is particularly relevant to us as a congregation, and I'm sure it's relevant to every congregation, but, you know, we're us. He says, offer hospitality without grumbling. You know, when you offer hospitality, you're letting your life come close to somebody else. He said, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. When there's, in any group of people, there's problems, disagreements, personality things, all that stuff exists in any grouping of people. But when you choose to love, you're saying, I'm just going to love right over that. I'm just going to love right over it. And when you have people in your home, problems that you often have in your head melt away in the presence of the person that you think you have problems with. Now, that's not always. Sometimes problems are like, and you're like, smashing heads with each other. You know, but often, you know, you get kind of like irritable about things, you know, like in a family, you're kind of, you spend time together, you hear the other person, you understand more of what's going on in their lives, and things melt away. When we think about the opportunity God gives us to meet people from around the world, or for students who are maybe from our country but are here for the first time, starting their young adulthood and collegiate careers, you know, what a great opportunity it is to offer hospitality. Throw open your home and just to spend time with people. I've shared with you before, 2 years ago, two Christmases ago, Kathy and I said to Michael, we'll host somebody. And then we had a hard time setting it up. And we finally set up that host moment. We were both frayed and frazzled and actually like we were irritable and didn't even want to do it at that point. We're like, so much pressure on us, right? But it happened, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful evening together. God was present with us in a very, like, I felt special way. And we felt ministered to. We ministered to the couple. They were only here one. They were leaving. We only got to see them once, and then they left. They went back to Russia. But it was amazing. You offer hospitality. You just love deeply. Like Peter's saying, just pay attention. Just back to the basics, folks. Just pray, love deeply. And then he says, serve with the gifts that you've received. And again, I was thinking about our meeting last night, and it was just a wonderful time, and the sense of togetherness and of being willing to share and rise up to meet needs within the congregation, within my leadership here, within the staff. It was just a great example of this. Like people saying, yes, like I might have ways in which I can serve and meet that need that's unaddressed. And so I find Peter's instruction here to be so basic and yet so profound. He's calling us to just invest in what's at hand, to take this ordinary life, right, that we live under God and make it extraordinary by walking in God's ways. I think that's what God calls us to do, to live like we were dying. In these weeks, on these first Sundays, I've mentioned that each of these Sundays, I just want to offer to people the opportunity to say yes to God. And I don't fancy myself much of an evangelist, but I've just kind of set a course for myself because I recognize that God is at work in people's hearts and minds in ways that are mysterious, in ways that we can't always identify. And when you think of a passage like this, that the end is near, in fact, the end could be very near for any of us through accident or illness. The end could be very near through age. The end could be very near for any of us at any time. And giving opportunity for someone to say, hey, I want to actually get right with God. I want to start on this path of praying and loving deeply. I want to fulfill intentions that I've had that I've never fulfilled. Because I think sometimes there is in us, we think one day we'll get to something. You know, one day I'll order my prayer life and I'll start to pray. You know, it's on my mind, and one day I'm gonna get into the sort of the habit of praying. One day we'll get in the habit of like hospitality. One day, someday when we're less busy, and we have intentions, but it gets put off. And for some of us, maybe some of you here, you think one day I'll kind of like deal with this God thing in my life. One day. And I just want to give the opportunity that, well, maybe today is the one day. That maybe today you feel God calling you. God's been speaking to you. And I'm sure this isn't the first moment you've noticed, right? God's been speaking and calling out to you and wooing you. And God's honoring us. He honors our freedom of choice. There's not a compelling, not a twisting of an arm, but God says, come to me. And if we come to God, all the grace and love and mercy of God gets poured out over our lives, right? Our sins are forgiven. The presence of God through the Spirit comes and begins to work a deep, deep change in our hearts. We find ourselves now being the type of person we were meant to be. And so I just wanted to ask, I'm just going to ask each Sunday, each communion Sunday, if there's anyone here who feels like either maybe for the first time or maybe in a renewed time, they're just wanting to say to God, yes, like I want to follow you. So is there anyone here, and there's no eyes closed or anything, I'm just before the group, is anybody here who's feeling that, like they want to say yes? Is there anybody who's feeling that? If you do, just raise your hand. No one has to, but if you'd like to, this is your moment just to say yes. Well, we'll keep praying because we believe God's stirring in our midst. And next month, I'll ask again, does anyone feel that desire to say, I want to start following you? I want to walk in your way. And for the rest of us, of course, let me encourage all of us, myself included. Peter spoke a good word to us. You know, very simple. Pray. Pray. Let's live like we're dying. Let's pray. And let's love each other deeply. Father, we give you thanks for your word to us. We thank you so much for the awesome privilege of living in community. It's so just such a richness to it, Father. And we pray that you'd help us to follow Peter's lead, to think, Father, about how the gifts you've placed within us can be brought to strengthen, to serve and strengthen the rest of the group, the rest of the body. Father, we pray that you'd give us thoughtful ways in which we can be hospitable, to welcome people into our midst, to welcome people into our lives, as well as into our homes, as well as into this community. That, Father, the love that you have for us, that we feel and live in, Lord, we could then pour out upon others. That we'd let love cover over the sins that are always present in a community of people. That the love part of it makes it so livable and so beautiful. So, Father, continue to empower us as your people. Continue to draw people to us, Father, whom you have, who you're wooing and bringing to yourself and opening eyes that we can be part of that journey with them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.